opportunities you have. We appreciate that you're here now for us to spend the time now in studying from God's Word. And we encourage and ask you that if anything that we say is not in harmony with what is revealed in the Word of God, that you'll point that out, that we may simply know truth more clearly and perfectly and obey it more fully in our lives. At the same time, if through our study you find truth that has not been in your life previously, that you will humble yourself before God and in repentance of sin, conform yourself to His will to either become a Christian tonight, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, or to be brought again into fellowship with God as a Christian through repentance of sin, confession of it in prayer to God. We want to help you toward that end, and we encourage a careful consideration now of God's Word and ourselves in light of it, that the end might be the glory of God and our sure fellowship with Him now and eternal life when this life is over. The study that we've planned for this evening is to beware of what is false. To just give have sort of a basic study and to remind us about the reality of things that are false, that the Bible warns us about, and that we need to just remind ourselves are out there, that we confront, and that will be used to try to destroy our souls and are being used to destroy souls. The Greek word for false is pseudo. And we know and use that word ourselves to that which is spurious, that which is an imposter. And so when we talk about anything that is false religiously, we're talking about religious pretenders or imposters. There is a deceptive resemblance of that which is false to that which is true. For example, in Matthew 7 and verse 15, Jesus said to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So here is a resemblance of that which is good, the sheep. But in truth, there is the ravenous, devouring wolf of the error of the false prophets. It's not that, and by the way, and this is an aside, and we'll get to it in a minute, it's not that that prophet's false character that's going to devour your soul. It's going to be the false doctrine he teaches if you believe it and follow it. And so he warns us against what the prophet is saying and teaching as if it were from God. Well, that's what a prophet is one who speaks on behalf of God. He's false in that respect, but there is a resemblance to the true. And yet it is spurious. It is a pretense, an imposture. Now, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, we are warned about imposters and the deception that is brought by one who may in all good conscience think they're teaching truth, but the message is false. In 2 Timothy 3:13, it says, "Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." There are those who are false prophets, false teachers, and these other false things we're going to see tonight, who are themselves deceived. But in their deception, they are deceiving others. So the idea of being an imposter is that which seduces an individual and who himself or herself may in fact have already been seduced and deceived by the very error that now is deceiving others. Again, in 2 Timothy 2, a warning then is given to us to be careful, to be diligent, to know truth, and to use and hold fast to it. Because you see, wherever there's the true, Satan manufactures the counterfeit. Amen.
John 8:44. Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil, and it is his will that you're doing. In fact, if you look at that verse a little more closely, John 8:44, it says, "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it." Now, do you see with me that Jesus contrasts truth and a lie? Satan brings a lie that is a counterfeit. It's an imposter. It's a pretender. It's false. You know, and yet, that which is false in God's eye is a lie. That which is taught as true and as truth, when it's error, it's false. It's a lie. And the one promoting it is a liar. Just as Satan himself is a liar. You see, so as an illustration, 2 Timothy chapter 2, please, verses 14 through 18. Paul told Timothy to remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. There are some words, some things that we should not strive about because they generate no benefit spiritually. There's no godly edification of which he's described and talked about back in his first epistle. But rather, there's the deterioration through strife and contentiousness. So he says, remind them not to do that, but be diligent, verse 15, to present yourself approved to God. A worker does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If I'm going to recognize the counterfeit, the imposter, the false, then I must be diligently and rightly dividing truth, the word of truth. And consequently, shun profane and idle babblings, verse 16. So now look, don't strive about some words because there's no profit. But verse 16, shun profane and idle babblings that increased ungodliness and the message that will spread like a cancer. Verse 17, and now he identifies Hymenaeus and Philetus, who are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth. Now, consequently, look, verse 14, whatever that striving about is to no profit, he says that you're not to do, that's a striving over things that's not a departure from the truth. But verse 18 certainly is a departure from the truth. They've strayed concerning the truth. We've got to discern the difference. It's only when we know the Word of God that we know the difference. Amen. That we can tell the difference. Just reminded me just a minute ago, you may or may not have already heard of this, and it's not a new thing, but there's a large Church of Christ back in Oklahoma City, I think it's called Quail Creek Church of Christ, that has, over the past month or so, added instrumental music to their worship. Now, of course, they had already deviated in the work of the local church some time past. They're already liberal in mindset and practice, but they further that now. They've added instrumental music. Understand, about 300 people left when they introduced the instrument into their worship. I also read now that there's been a full page ad taken out by some other churches and preachers marking particularly the preacher and I suppose the congregation for this action as being error. I read through that and they specified by name the preacher, and it just got my attention because there wasn't anything specified, and I just thought, well, what about the elders? Mark them. They're the ones who led this church into this error. Of course, the preacher is the proponent of it, and he's defended it publicly. But nevertheless, someone comes along and says, "But you know, that's just a bunch of striving to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers." Because after all, how's instrumental music going to affect me one way or another before God? Now, that's the thinking of some. And it reminds me of this passage, because we might get down here to verses 17 and 18 about the resurrection. Now think about a minute. If you believe there's a resurrection or not, how's that going to affect your moral life right now, for instance? Is that going to make you any more immoral, any more moral? Someone come along and say, "Well, that's no big deal. If you want to believe in the resurrection, that's fine. If not, otherwise, that's fine." Of course, you know, those consequences are laid out real plainly in 1 Corinthians 15. You know, real plainly, you can't reject resurrection and be a Christian in truth. But what I'm trying to illustrate is, you see, there's an imposter that is error. And to say there's no resurrection is error that caused people to stray from the faith and lose their souls. Just as adding instrumental music to worship is to pervert the worship that is revealed in the first in the New Testament as a perversion that destroys souls. And we've got to be able to discern the false by knowing the truth. By knowing the truth, the word of truth. And so while we are warned about what's false, we better know the genuine article so that we can then be careful and in fact reject the false. Now, again, we might note there are many brethren who say it's wrong to name false teachers. But Paul did it in verse 17. He very clearly says Hymenaeus and Philetus are taught teaching error. They're teaching a doctrine that has caused them to stray from the faith, from the truth, and has caused others' faith to be overthrown. And that's a distinguishing mark of error. It overthrows faith. It is a straying away from the word of truth. And we are fundamentally warned about such error and again told to preach the word and not to accept the doctrines that scratch itching ears, that destroy the hearers and the teachers of those false doctrines because it turns ears away from the truth to fables, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 4. So there is the false is that which is an imposter, it's deceptive, it's not genuine, it's pretense, it's seductive because it sounds good, it looks good, it appears to be good. But it destroys faith, it destroys souls, and so God says, beware. Beware of a variety of things that are pseudo or false. For example, we're warned in the New Testament to beware of false Christs. In Matthew 24, Jesus warned about this. The Christ Himself warned that there would be people saying they're false Christs, approaching the time of the destruction of Jerusalem by the Roman armies. There in the first century even, there were people, look, Jesus said beginning in 23, if someone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So Jesus says there would be pseudo-Christs. There would be pretenders, imposters. And you say, well, we don't have to worry about that today. Oh, yeah, we do. You ever heard of Sun Myung Moon? I don't hear much about him anymore, but back in the 80s and 90s, millions of followers, Korean preacher. I was just doing a little review of some of his doctrine here at the Unification Church. Here's a quotation from some of their material. Reverend Moon declared that he and his wife are the Messiah and true parents of all humanity. There are men today who claim to be Messiah, claim to be the Christ, just as there were in the first century. Now, Jesus warns us, He warned His followers then to be careful and cautious, because you see, even then in the first century, it was not just and always somebody standing up and saying, I'm the Christ. There were people who were bringing false doctrines about the Christ, about the Messiah. In verse 23, there was some, in essence, that we would say, well, here's the Christ, He just appeared to be flesh. The Gnostics of the late 1st century and 2nd centuries, their concept of flesh was it was completely evil. And so Christ surely wasn't actually in the flesh here on earth. He just appeared to have flesh. That's a false doctrine. 1st John deals with that, as does 2nd John. Exposes that as the imposter of truth that it is. There are those who teach today that the Messiah is going to come back to Jerusalem. Jesus is going to come back with the great battle of Armageddon, defeating evil, and He's going to reign in Jerusalem over this world for 1,000 years. That's a false Christ. That's not the Christ of the Bible. Now, you know, to just say, well, we don't have to worry about false Christ. Yes, we do, because in doctrine, in false doctrines being taught, there are false Christs being propagated. There's a false Christ who thinks, that says, well, Jesus loves everybody, and nobody's going to go to hell. Nobody's going to be lost for their sins. Everybody will go to heaven. You know, there are false Christs. There are brethren in the church who tell us of Christ who he's not really so involved, so concerned about false doctrines and some of these very things we're talking about today. Jesus was concerned about it. He warned us and those and his apostles in Matthew 24 while he was still on earth. He warned about false Christs and false prophets that would come with their deceptions. In 2 Thessalonians 2, the Apostle Paul would later write about these deceptions. They still exist to this time. Here in making an application about the lawless one, the son of perdition, the one who would come in persecuting and destructive and false ways, he said, the Lord will consume him with the breath of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his coming. But coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So here are people who, here's the one with his authority and power who would present himself as being a great one, great power, lying signs, lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception. Among those who perish, among those who are lost, they will be deceived by these false wonders and lying signs and error. Why? Because they did not receive a love of the truth that they might be saved. We've got to love truth to avoid the pseudo Christs and the false doctrines. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. See, when Sun Myung Moon gets up there and says, I'm Messiah, there's literally millions of people who have followed him into his error. God will let us believe a lie. We'll make a choice. If we don't love truth, if we're not willing to investigate what really is true, we look at it like this verse right here, you know, and study the Word of God to see if it's so, then we can be deceived. The imposter can win the day over us. We'll lose our souls if we don't love truth. So he says that they may all be condemned, who do not believe the truth, that have pleasure in unrighteousness. Part of it has to do with what pleases us. Is our pleasure to do what is righteous or unrighteous? Well, false Christ will be out there appealing to self and pride and those things that support a lack of love for truth. So we're warned against pseudo-Christ. We're warned against false apostles. In 2 Corinthians 11, you know, the Apostle Paul, and we'll see it in our study of 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul had to defend that he was a true apostle. And there were some who were at once not only trying to undermine his authority as an apostle of Christ, but also setting themselves forth as apostles of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 11, and beginning in verse 12, Paul wrote, "But what I do, I will continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast." So there were some who wanted to be regarded as apostles. But such, he says, are false apostles, pseudo-apostles. They're imposters, they're pretenders, they're in error. Fashioning, they're deceitful workers, fashioning or transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself also transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Now, these men appeared to have been sent by Christ, appeared to be ambassadors for Christ. They appeared to serve righteousness, verse 15 says. they purported that they should be regarded just as Paul or Peter or the other apostles that were true apostles. And there are men today, of course, as we know, who claim the same title and power and position and call upon people to respect them as apostles. And from the Pope on the one hand to the Mormons on the other hand to any of a number of other religions who claim such titles and powers. In Revelation 2, the church in Ephesus tried and tested those who claimed to be apostles and found them to be false. And those who make the claims today can be put to the test and they'll be found false. You see, they don't qualify as apostles. They did not continue with Paul or with Jesus throughout his life, nor were they witnesses of the resurrected body of Christ. Paul, of course, is one born out of due season, Christ appearing to him and personally appointing him. In 1 Corinthians 15:8, Paul refers to it. But those of today certainly do not meet the qualification that is set down in the Scripture for apostles. Again, they simply do not, and they don't supply any evidence. What they supply are lying signs, deceptive works that deceive those who don't hold the love of the truth, but believe a lie. And again, it's God who said they don't believe, they don't love the truth, not me. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10. See, if we'll love truth and we'll hold to the revealed truth, then God assures us that we can avoid the deception. There was evidence that people gave, that the apostles presented, that they were in fact apostles. They, among all the followers of Jesus, they were the only ones who could impart miraculous spiritual gifts to somebody. Think about that from those terms. They were the only ones that could do it. Now, Jesus sent the Spirit to baptize them with the Holy Spirit, and one of the powers they had was not just to perform miracles, but to give the Holy Spirit to others to perform miracles of a variety of sorts. That distinguished them as apostles. And those today who make the claim of apostleship simply do not have the credentials. They don't have the credentials. And there are no modern day apostles. They are pseudo. They are spurious. Of course, false prophets, those who would claim to speak on behalf of God. 1 John 4:1 says, many have gone out into the world. There's many false prophets. And that was in the first century. And the number has not diminished. False claims of inspiration. False claims of being a spokesman of God. Deception is a trademark. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Deception is a trademark of the false prophet. The lying signs, we've already read about that. You remember Simon in Acts the 8th chapter? He gave lying signs. He was a sorcerer with tricks. He deceived the people thinking he was a great power of God. And he accepted those accolades and acknowledgments. See, and God says we need to be careful and cautious. We need to put such to the test that would make those false claims. The New Testament is our defense against false prophets. 1 John 4:1, after you said test the prophets, verse 6 tells us the standard of our test. It said, take the things that the apostles have said, the things the apostles have written, the New Testament of Jesus Christ. Let's read that together. He said, we are of God. Now the we is the apostles of Jesus. John and those others all the way back into chapter 1 who heard Jesus and saw Jesus and handled Jesus and declare Him to you. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. And so if someone is in fellowship with God, knows God, then he's listening to the real apostles, the true apostles of Jesus. Their doctrine. But he who is not of God does not hear us. Now, By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
So we are to test by the New Testament standard the one who claims to be speaking on behalf of God as if he were sent by God concerning the things of God. He says, put it to the test of Scripture. Now, in addition and similarly to that, let's go to the text of our reading this evening, 2 Peter 2, 1, 2, and 3. Here we're warned against false teachers. There were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. So there will be pseudo teachers, false, spurious, imposters, deceptive, seductive, deceiving, and being deceived. False teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. What they teach destroys, divides, separates the people of God from God and His truth and His blessings, even denying the Lord who bought them. This is characteristic of error, is it denies the Lord. And brought on them, and will bring on themselves swift destruction. The consequence, the penalty for the false teacher is his own destruction, but not only that, see, he brings that destruction upon others. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. The truth is spoken against because error is purported to be true, and yet because it is an imposter, it's a counterfeit. The truth is obscured and spoken against. But by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Now, here, note with me just the nature of the teaching of the false teacher. I'm not talking about the nature of character of the teacher, but the nature of what is being taught. It is destructive. It is heresy, verse 1. It brings destruction. It is destroying others, verse 2. It brings blasphemy against truth. And it brings God's divine judgment to bear. Now, see in a similar vein, Acts 20, 29 through 31. The nature of the teaching is false, it's distorted, it's destructive. And here of the elders of the church at Ephesus, Paul warns them that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. So what is perverse? What is misleading? What is perverted from the truth is what constitutes false, the error. And we say all this because, you see, he says they'll bring it in often secretively. That is, it's brought in alongside of what is true. Error is a parasite that latches onto the truth and presents itself with elements of truth, but in a distorted, deceptive way that deceives and can secretly get its foothold. And we've got to be very cautious as a result and aware lest the error creep in and destroy us. Jude 4 warns about that as well in a similar way. Now, here's one of the errors that comes in about some of this. We see some brethren say that a person is only a false teacher if his motives are dishonest. There's a fellow named Cecil Hook, who he's written a lot about this, false teachers and false teaching, and he's about as liberal as a $3 bill. He'll just accept about anybody into fellowship. Of course, those who say that his doctrine is error. But he says the only person who's a false teacher is the one who is intentionally untrue. He's not a false teacher unless he's just intentionally setting out to deceive. But you see,
this verse, 2 Peter 2, doesn't, at the beginning, he goes on to describe some of the character flaws and sins of these false teachers, but he begins by looking at the character and nature of what they're teaching. It creeps in deceptively, it's destructive, and again, all that has to do with what he's actually saying, what he's actually teaching. It's the error that is false. And that's what we need to recognize, is the error is false. We don't know a person's character unless they tell us what's in their heart. We can show it. They'll show it eventually by their fruit. But you know, we don't know what's in somebody's heart. I don't know if a person's motive is genuine or not unless they tell me. I don't know that motive. But I can know what they're saying, what they're teaching. You see, I don't know what the motive is of the premillennialist who says Jesus is going to come back to earth for 1,000 years and reign. I don't know what their motive is. It may be a sincere motive, but it's a false doctrine, and they're a false teacher. And that's the point we're talking about here, is God calls upon us to be aware of the false, the pseudo-teaching that comes from teachers. You see, Does it correspond? Is it in harmony with what the apostles of Jesus said? That's the test to be applied. We're to hold fast the pattern of sound words. 2 Timothy 1:13 and 1 Timothy 6:3 says, if any man does not consent to sound words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and a doctrine that accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. So, wholesome words are the words of our Lord Jesus, the doctrine that accords with godliness. So it's the doctrine that identifies whether it's true or error. The teaching. Hold fast the words of Jesus, the words from his apostles, his prophets, that are inspired of God. And in that way, we are safeguarded against the false teachers. Now, the Bible also talks about false brethren. Galatians 2 and verse 4, false brethren. Think about this with me for a minute. In that passage, it says, this occurred because of false brethren, secretly brought in, and came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ, that we might be brought into bond, they might be brought into bondage. Now, who are false brethren? Well, they're pseudo brethren. But what's meant by that description? Well, brother, of course, refers to our relation in God's family, doesn't it? He is not ashamed to call us his brethren, Hebrews 2:11. So when we talk about brother or sister, we're talking about the relationship in the family of God. But now he says there's some here who are false. Well, first of all, let's find out who the genuine are. God's family hears and obeys his word. Luke 8, verses 20 and 21. Passage says, it was told by him by some, saying, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. And he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. So those who are genuinely in the family of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus, if you will, brethren, are those who hear God's word and obeys God's word. So now who then are these false brethren? Well, let's look at who he's talking about. He's talking in Galatians 2 about Christians in Acts 15. He's talking about unfaithful, erring Christians, erring brethren, people who had been baptized into Christ. They've been faithful, but they had now turned to error, following false doctrine, false teaching, and had thus become unfaithful. They were no longer hearing and obeying the word of Jesus. You see, there in Acts 15, he describes Christians who came from Jerusalem to Antioch teaching a false doctrine. The Gentiles had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses to be saved. And then in Jerusalem, among the brethren, some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up. See, here are Christians But they rose up and said, it's necessary to circumcise the men, command them to keep the law of Moses.
These are the false brethren Paul talks about in Galatians 2:4. Believers, Christians, who by their doctrine, their practice, their teaching, show themselves to be false, pseudo,
imposter, not genuine, not truly hearing and following the word of Jesus. They've fallen away. They're unfaithful now to the Lord. He says, we need to beware. There are dangers associated with false brethren. We need to see that and know that. There are dangers. The danger of, you see, if we're not willing to see the distinction between faithful brethren and unfaithful brethren, then we expose ourselves to the very falsehoods and deception that produces such a description. We expose ourselves to error and sin and our own unfaithfulness. 2 Corinthians 11 says in verse 26, Paul said he was in perils among false brethren, pseudo-brethren, because of the errors they were in. And that's why we're not to have fellowship with those who go beyond the doctrine of Christ. 2 John 9:10 and 11. To have fellowship with those who go beyond the doctrine of Christ is to have fellowship with false brethren, imposters, those who may think they're in fellowship with God, but by their works they deny Him. By their doctrine they're unfaithful to Him. And so we're to not have fellowship, join up with and participate with them in such errors, but rather see that by doing that, or rather we're to keep ourselves and have no fellowship with those who go beyond His doctrine. So, false Christ, false apostles, false brethren, false teachers, false prophets. All these things that are false are set in contrast to Jesus Christ, who is true. He is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, He said. So all who are of the truth hear His voice. That's what He said in John 18:37. All who are of the truth hear My voice. So whether we're talking about false Christ, false prophets, false apostles, false teachers, false brethren, identifying mark and trait is they don't hear what Jesus said. Because when they don't hear what Jesus said, they mark themselves as being imposters. He's the true Christ. He provides the evidence that He's the Christ, the Son of God, and through Him, believing on Him, we have life in His name. The true Christ, true apostles, the ones that are sent by Jesus. Acts 1st chapter, verse 8. The signs of an apostle, being able to impart miraculous spiritual gifts associated with their work while preaching the gospel to the whole world, being witnesses of the resurrected Christ. Those are the true apostles. True prophets are those who are inspired by the Holy Spirit, driven and impelled along by what the Spirit of God really wants to proclaim, the very words of God. True teachers are those who are in harmony with the sound words, the words of Jesus Christ. The faithful or true brethren, those who are faithful in Christ. Look at Colossians 1 verse 2. In that context of brethren, we had false brethren, but here's the counterpoint to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Faithful brethren as opposed to false brethren. See, these are found in Jesus. I'll close with a verse in 1 John 2. 1 John 2, 21, 22, and 23. That passage, the Apostle John wrote, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Okay? First of all, he says, you can know truth. Don't let somebody convince you you can't know truth. You can know truth. Amen. And he says, okay, and you see the contrast is the lie. No lies of the truth. The imposter, the lying Messiah, the lying apostle, the lying prophet, the lying teacher, the lying brother is the one who's not teaching truth. That's God's contrast. That's God's description of it. The lie is that which is in opposition to truth that He's revealed. So to deny Jesus is to be a liar. He makes his application now. Because you see, I said before, some are denying the truth about Jesus that John is answering. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He's the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So truth contains nothing false. Those things that are false deny the Christ and His Word, and it is that which is false that forfeits fellowship. If we deny the Son, we deny the truth of Jesus, then we forfeit our fellowship with both the Father and the Son. We're lost in our sins. That's why truth is important. That's why we must beware of false, the things that are false, because the things that are false will cause us to lose our souls, because it separates us from God and His Son, who is the truth. And so the proverb stands that we are urged to buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. We must accept no substitutes, and we must reject all counterfeits to buy the truth and do not separate ourselves from it. And beware of all those things that do not harmonize with the revealed Word of Jesus Christ. Hear and obey His words in all things. And start that tonight by becoming a Christian. To repent, confess that He's the Son of God, and obey Him and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Or to repent and get right with God as a child of God. To make that right through prayer, putting away the sin, repenting in our heart, and bearing the fruit of that repentance in our life. We urge you to buy the truth, to beware of the error, and those things that are false, and to stand in the truth of Jesus while together we stand and we sing.